From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch. And I'm Michelle Norris. 5 years ago today, the Taliban was overthrown in Afghanistan. NPR's Ivan Watson was there as an American bombing campaign led to an assault on Kabul by a U.S.-supported coalition known as the Northern Alliance. Now, Ivan Watson has gone back, and he's put together this report about the Afghan War's decisive battle as experienced by two men who fought in it.
Hayatullah Hayat remembers the first time he saw the American warplanes bomb his enemy.
We became very happy because I thought this would put an end to me living as a refugee. Because if we defeated the Taliban, I believed I could go back to live in my village.
5 years ago, Hayatullah was a low-level commander in the Northern Alliance. He was stationed along the front lines that bisected the wide Shamali Plain north of Kabul. His village and home were on the other side of the trenches, in Taliban hands. In late October of 2001, those Taliban positions became the target of American airstrikes.
A U.S. B-52 bomber makes a pass over the Shamali Plain. Suddenly, a plume of dark brown smoke appears over Taliban-controlled territory just west of the road to Kabul. Seconds later, there's a thundering roar.
That November 2nd airstrike, reported on All Things Considered, was also remembered by Taliban fighters. For them, it was hell.
We didn't know how those bombs came and landed on us. They were horrible because dozens of them would hit us at a time.
5 years ago, this man, Samad, that's not his real name, was a 21-year-old Taliban foot soldier. He was deployed on the Shamali front, along with other Afghan fighters, as well as some Pakistanis, Arabs, Turks, and Chechens. Last week, Samad returned for the first time to visit his old frontline positions.
Were the American bombs landing around here?
Oh. Here. The deer zayukil vedale akhmat.
Some of your friends died around here, right?
Yes,
it's almost 30 to 35 friends of mine died here.
Samad walks around a barren field where white stones mark landmines that have yet to be cleared. Though there has been some reconstruction here, many mud brick farm houses still lie in ruins. A passing jet roars overhead, sounding remarkably similar to the American B-52s, which once rained death on Samad and his fellow fighters.
When we first learned that the Americans would attack the Taliban, we didn't care. We thought they would fight us on the ground.
But the U.S. military did not launch a ground offensive. Instead, Washington sent small groups of covert special forces soldiers and intelligence agents to work with the Northern Alliance. Hayatullah, the Northern Alliance fighter, was told by his commanders that they were journalists.
I don't think they were really journalists. They would determine the targets for the American bombers, and sometimes they advised us on how to fight.
On November 9, 2001, the U.S. and its Afghan allies won their first major victory over the Taliban in northern Afghanistan's largest city. Just 2 days later, on November 12, 2001, the Northern Alliance, backed by American warplanes, began its thrust towards Kabul.
The B-52 dropped a string of bombs over an 800-yard stretch of territory. In the afternoon, Northern Alliance soldiers began a ground assault by attacking Taliban positions already weakened by the American and Alliance bombardment. In Rabat, 10 volunteer fighters in civilian clothes clambered onto a truck and yelled, "God be almighty," as they left for the front.
On that day, Hayatullah was in the first wave of the ground offensive.
I did expect to die that day.
But what Hayatullah did not know was that just hours before the assault, the Taliban had ordered a retreat. That order surprised Samad, the Taliban foot soldier. He says most of the Afghan fighters quickly abandoned the front lines, but without telling their foreign allies that they were leaving.
From our group, nobody remained here. But later on, I found out the Arabs. They were not informed, and they remained behind.
Meanwhile, Hayatullah, a tank commander, led some 50 Northern Alliance fighters into battle. He says the Taliban fighters who stayed behind fought hard, but didn't stand a chance.
At first, the resistance was so serious that I drove my tank over a man who was shooting at me.
Hayatullah says his unit advanced steadily, capturing or killing dozens of Taliban fighters. By nightfall, he had reached his village, Karabakh.
In my life, I've cried two times. Once when our leader Ahmad Shah Massoud was assassinated, and the second time was when I saw my house that day. It was just a pile of dirt.
That night, Hayatullah and his men slept amid the burned vineyards and razed farms left after 5 years of Taliban occupation. At the same time, the Taliban's Samad had retreated to Kabul to find the entire Taliban regime fleeing en masse, driving out of the city to the south and to the east.
My commander told me it was a tactical retreat, since we could not resist those bombs and that we should go back to our villages. And when we see an opportunity, we should start to fight again against the Americans and the Northern Alliance.
The Taliban gave up Kabul without firing a shot. The next morning, Northern Alliance commanders tried to keep their troops from flooding the city, but to no avail. On November 13, 2001, All Things Considered broadcast this report, describing how several hundred Alliance fighters in green uniforms broke through the checkpoint with a cheer.
The soldiers half walked, half ran down the Kabul highway, and as they rounded a curve in the road, the city lay on the plain just ahead. There, locals gave the troops a hero's welcome, showering them with flower petals, money, and candy. Further up the road, residents were lashing out at symbols of the old regime. A crowd beat on a Taliban truck that had been burned in the street.
Hayatullah was one of the men who stormed Kabul that day. Today, the former fighter is an officer in the Kabul Police Department. He sits on the floor of his barracks, exhausted. The veteran has just returned from commanding his first combat mission since the war. It was something he never thought he'd have to do again, battle Taliban fighters less than 50 miles from the Afghan capital. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Kabul.